thank the children for singing. We thank all of you who helped with Vacation Bible School this week. Please turn to page 151. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Chant the intro.
Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world. O flow and high, rich and poor together.
Truly no man can ransom.
Lord, have mercy. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is from Ecclesiastes, chapters 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 100, chanted responsively.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. His name.
Chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Alleluia and verse.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods, laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, is not rich toward God.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ."
Hymn of the day, hymn 782. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text begins with a typical interaction that people seem to have with Jesus. We have a man who, in a crowd of thousands, asked Jesus to do something for him, because that seems to always be the case when Jesus is around. People are always asking Jesus to do something for them. This man, in particular, wanted Jesus to be a judge or a mediator between himself and his brother. He tells Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. What is normally a family dispute or a civil dispute has been brought before Jesus to judge. This man's brother seemingly had no desire or intention to share the inheritance with him. Jesus responds in a way that is unexpected. Instead of telling the man who asked the request in the first place to kick rocks, or telling the brother who had the inheritance to split it with his brother, Jesus says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with this civil dispute. In fact, he uses it to warn the crowd that is around them about greed. Jesus tells the crowd to take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus saw this as an opportunity to teach the people about the dangers of covetousness. And the scriptures are very particular with that word, covetousness, today. We've seen it in our epistle, and we see it now in our gospel. It seems to be that the man who brought forth this dispute to Jesus was struggling with this sin of covetousness. He wanted what he believed was his, the inheritance. Sure, it wasn't all of the inheritance. He just wanted half of it. But he was so concerned with getting a portion of this inheritance that perhaps he wasn't thinking through all of the consequences or the ramifications that receiving this inheritance or part of it would have. What do I mean? For example, maybe if he does manage to get half of the inheritance from his brother, his brother, now feeling like he was swindled out of half the wealth that was his, would start feeling spiteful towards his brother and thus damage their relationship. It happens so often that in matters of material wealth that a wedge can be driven between family members. Jesus offers up another consequence, though, of this covetousness, an eternal consequence. In fact, Jesus seems hardly concerned with the earthly inheritance at stake, because he then tells the crowd a parable about how unimportant material goods and wealth really are in the grand scheme of things. It goes something like this. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So we have this rich man who had so much stuff. His land was plentiful, and he did not have the space to store it all. He could have done several things with all of this wealth. He could have given his surplus to the less fortunate. He could have put it to work in his community. But he doesn't. Instead, he lets his greed consume him, and he tears down his old barns and builds bigger ones, just so he can keep holding on to more and more stuff, more and more wealth. He thinks this will keep him secure for a very long time. He tells his soul to relax, eat, drink, be merry.
He truly thought that all of his goods would keep him alive, at least for a little while. He had no need to worry about death and what will happen to his stuff. Or at least that's what he thought. God, as he does, had other plans. God tells him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" This man felt so secure in his prosperity that he thought he had some control over the inevitable, death. This man had no control over this, because it is God who numbers our days. It is God who says when our souls will be required of us. All of his stuff could not save him, and storing all of it up was for nothing, because now it's going to go to someone else who may misuse it. The man, in the end, had no control over how long he shall live and what will happen to his wealth when he dies. He could have managed his wealth well, aiding people, or perhaps giving it as an inheritance. Instead, he wasted his days toiling for it, and he will never see the fruit of his labor come to fruition. That is what happens to those who do not lay up treasures in heaven with the Father, and are only concerned with how much they can amass in the here and now. Now, we can point our fingers at the rich man in this parable and think, "Ha, what a Scrooge, he got what was coming to him." But we can be the same way, can't we? In fact, we do it all the time. Whether it's for a good reason or a bad reason, we tend to obsess over the things that we do have, or the things that we don't have, or the things that we think we should have. What do I mean by that? Well, a bad reason to obsess over our wealth is, as we've seen in the parable, is simply because we want more of it. When our wealth serves no other purpose other than to be something to show off to everyone, we have fallen into sin. Some of that wealth could go towards aiding the poor, storing it up for our children, giving it to the church. But wealthiness for wealth's sake is not right. That's a bad reason. But there are seemingly good reasons to obsess over wealth. And we do it all the time. You might be familiar with some of these examples. We have bills to pay. We got taxes to keep up on. And we have a family to feed. And we are concerned and worried about the inheritance or things that we can leave behind for our children, for our grandchildren. How will their school get paid for? Things like that is what we worry about. We say things like, "I want my spouse to have enough to get by without me when I'm gone." Or, "If I had a little more money, I could give more offerings, give more to charity." Things like that. Those are the things we worry about, and rightly so. But so often, in our worryingness, that we run the risk of letting this obsession ruin our spiritual lives. And it's not just money, either, that can draw us away from God. No, the desire for a grand reputation, perhaps, or a successful career, as well as wealth and stuff, can draw us away from the Lord and even from our families. We'll work so much that perhaps we don't make it to church on Sundays anymore. And maybe even if we do make it, what does the rest of the week look like? Perhaps we're never home enough with our families as we ought to be during the week. The children maybe are not taught properly at home as they should be because of this desire for wealth has consumed us. And it sounds terrible. And it is terrible. And we repent of it daily. But fear not. Though Jesus did not give that man nor us an earthly inheritance, he has given us something so much better than any amount of cash or glory. St. Peter tells us that according to God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Did you hear that this morning? We have an unfading inheritance that is waiting for us in heaven. Salvation is the inheritance that God has given to us. In the death of Christ on the cross, our sins are forgiven, and we become children of the Father. And you know what fathers have for their children? An inheritance. The inheritance that the Father has is given to Christ, who gives it to us as a mediator. Christ was not willing this morning to be a mediator between the man and his brother in today's text. But he is more than willing to be a mediator between us and the Father, and is giving us our eternal inheritance of everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, and a perfect body at the resurrection. These gifts are what make us truly rich. Now that's what I call an inheritance. And in the epistle lesson, Paul describes the life we have in Christ as baptized Christians, who are connected to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Now you might say to yourself, okay, yeah, eternity. But what about now? I have a lot more problems now than I will have in eternity. And you're right. We most certainly have a lot more problems now than we will in eternity. We won't have any problems in eternity. Well, God knows that too. That's why he's given us something of a down payment on this inheritance. And he does so in several ways. He gives you the sacraments of baptism, communion, and absolution. Daily and weekly, you are receiving a down payment of eternity. That's a big down payment on our heavenly inheritance. But as it goes in the infomercials, but wait, there's more. We also don't have to worry about those other things that we've mentioned, such as paying the bills, having a grand reputation, how we will eat and clothe ourselves, because God cares for those needs too. He does so daily and richly out of his divine goodness and mercy. And that's how it goes in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. The Lord will provide clothing, shoes, house, home, wife, husband, food, and will take care of you. That being said, we don't want to quit our jobs. We do have a vocation, but that is how God cares for us, is through those means of work. In this life, we worry so much about what we have and what we think we should have and what other people have and what we don't have and what we might leave behind for others. Christ tells us today that those things do not matter as much as we may think. He tells us that all of those things will fade away and that we will not be taking it with us into heaven. But that's all right. It's okay. Instead of those earthly things, Christ has given you something eternal. He has given you the salvation of our souls and eternal life. And we receive that portion of that inheritance in the sacraments and in the numerous ways God provides for us in our body and life with all that he thinks we need, as Luther tells us in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. So have no fear about not having enough money or what you will do for your children's inheritance. The Lord has given you an eternal inheritance that you pass on to your kids when you give them God's word and you bring them to church. And he provides you with all that you need out of his tenderly, fatherly goodness and gracious will without anything needed from you on your part. We have no need to covet our neighbor's wealth or their stuff because God knows exactly what you need. That's why he sent his son, Jesus, for us, so that we may have an everlasting wealth that is ours forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. And remember that no one loves you more, no one knows you better, and no one desires you more than Jesus Christ. Amen.
Page 158, the Nicene Creed. We stand to speak the creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayer of the Church. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. God, our Creator and Redeemer, you wonderfully created our human nature and yet more wondrously restored it. By the power of your Spirit, set our minds on things above where Christ is seated, and renew us more and more in your image. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, your church, the people of your own possession, bless all pastors, teachers, DCEs, deaconesses, those who preach the gospel overseas as missionaries. Grant us graciously to provide devoted men and women commissioned to teach in the arts and the works of charity within your church. May we always treasure your grace above all, and bless Trinity Lutheran Church, our early child care center, our youth ministry, campus ministry, English as a second language, international student ministry, and bless Peter Williams as he serves as a vicar in Germany. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you promise to provide for all our needs of body and soul, and you do so through our daily vocations. Defend our hearts so we do not focus on worldly wealth. Rather, strive for that wealth that flows from the love of Christ, and lead us to trust you in fatherly care in all things. This week, bless those who celebrate their baptism and birthday: Tammy Stecker, David Faskold, Susan Favors, Lindsay Shem, Ember Ward, Carol Cheatwood, Mary Cheatwood, Finn Cash, and Pastor Aaron Uphoff. And bless those who celebrate their anniversaries this week: David and Valerie Huntley, Ron and Debbie Atkinson, Lupe and Linda Sepulveda, Todd and Casey Kennard, Derek and Claire Hartman, Chandel and Michael Nash. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, protect us and our neighbors from those who seek to do us harm. Restrain all evil through the governing authorities of our land, and protect us from all acts of violence, and keep us in peace and safety. We pray for peace in Syria, Israel, Palestine, and the Ukraine, and bless Calvin, Eli, Daniel, Gabe, Mike, and Alex as they serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, please be near the suffering, the dying, and the grieving. Support them with your healing strength and compassion. Guide skillful doctors and nurses in their care, that their pain may be alleviated and bodies and minds return to health. lest Raymond Sendelbach, Ember Ward, Andy Darmody, Betty Tinney, Pastor Lee Hagen, Burl Denner, and Mike Knox. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, because we do not know what we need or how to ask, lead us by your Spirit to trust in your wisdom, have confidence in your grace, in this life and the life to come. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your promises through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
At this time, we will be gathering the offerings, and as we do, take the attendance pad at the end of the pew, fill it out, and place the sheet in the basket in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for our offerings.
Offertory page 159, we stand to sing.
Blessed is he.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. For you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. When my God, you take away.
body of Christ, the body of Christ. Take and eat the body of Christ, the body of Christ. Take and eat the body of Christ, the body of Christ. Take and eat the body of Christ.
Catechol, page 164, we stand to sing.
Jesus, we are.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.